Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend this past weekend, several contests going on. We had two FBA contests, a few KCBS contests going on, and we'll get down to the order of business, I guess. Congratulations to all those teams that got called this weekend. We've still got one of our fellow teams out there that competed in Laughlin, Nevada. Bubba Q finished third out there. Q out to grand champion. Congrats to them. Bubba Q, if he hasn't made it in yet, he's hopefully getting closer to Georgia, and hopefully he'll be home safely. I take it all the other teams arrived home safe. I didn't hear any bad news on Facebook or anything. So, like I said, I'm glad everybody's made it back safe and sound, and no rest for the weary with all the competitions coming up. Speaking of competitions, we've had, like I said before, we had two FBA events. One was in Melbourne, Florida. Red Bagby from the Swamp Boys took grand champion, and Big Papa Country Kitchen took reserve grand. If you want to take it, Red Bagby's only like 20 points behind Big Papa Country Cooking Kitchen, so that's all going to come down to the last event of the year, which is going to be pretty exciting for Team of the Year and Florida Barbecue Association. Also, a buddy of mine, Damon Woolley from Woolley Bully Barbecue Mafia, took a grand and Elba, Alabama, FBA Grand, and Daddy Graves took Reserve Grand. Congratulations, both of them. Tough competition in both of those comps, and, you know, proud of them. Did very well, and congratulations again. We've got a few competitions coming up. We also had a competition in Gainesville, Georgia, Hog and Lanier. Featured 49 primo teams up there with the likes of Tillman and Grill, Georgia Boys, Blue Bloods, Munchin' Hogs and Hilton, Three Eyes Barbecue, Q's Tuna and Brewing, Old Plantation, Chatham Artillery, Wicked Q, Midnight Burn, you know, Smoking Hoss. Just a lot of top-notch teams up there this past weekend. We didn't do so hot. I think I should have stayed at home, but you have one every now and then that you don't do very well in. So just chalk it up to just be grateful for the ones that we did do good in. Want to congratulate Smoke Me Silly for winning Grand Championship, and to a good buddy of mine, and I guess a fellow teammate in the type of smokers we cook on, Michael with Old Plantation Barbecue, got another Reserve Grand Championship. That makes like 94 for him for this week, this year. Boys is getting so close to Grand. He's a very excellent cook. Q&A Steering and Brewing got third place overall. Just a very good cook for a lot of the teams up there. Georgia was represented well, and proud to see some of my friends up there getting some calls, getting some wins, and taking home a paycheck. Jacksonville South was there, Southport. I mean, like I said, it was Pit Bulls up in Smoke. Just an impressive field up there when you have that many teams. And of course, most of those are going to another contest, which is coming up this weekend. Being put on by Randall Bowman up in Cumming, Georgia. He's a fellow competitor out there, Deep South Barbecue, but Randall Bowman, his first year doing it last year, a lot of times cooks make really, really good promoters, and Randall really took care of the teams last year up in Cumming, Georgia at the National Barbecue Cup. If you haven't signed up for it, you need to quickly. He's got a huge area, and it's almost filled up. Very great accommodation. The township or the city really comes out and supports this event. A lot of people coming through there, a lot of teams. You're going to see teams such as Three Eyes and Two Old Man and Grill and Munch and Hogs at the Hilton and Cool Smoke and Rod Gray from Pellet Envy, a lot of Bull, ButtRub.com, Jack's Old South, Smoky Triggers. I mean, they're all going to be up there. Everybody's fighting for points. Some of them just come to win some money. I think there's over $25,000 in prize money up there. I think he's got almost 50 backyard teams in it, which they're going to be staged up on what we call the hill. And puts on a very, very well-run, organized, just totally awesome event for all the cookers and spectators and everybody that's going to be there. Like I said, it really takes care of the cookers. The combinations are second to none, and he's got plenty of power, plenty of water, a lot of good little gifts in the goodie bags, and even get charcoal from one of my sponsors, Royal Oak. And so if you get a chance, give Randall a call. He will be on here shortly. We'll be talking more about his contest, all the little perks, and, you know, the size of the event, of the venue and everything, and what all they help out the cookers with. We've also got another event in the South Carolina Barbecue Association. It's the St. Nicholas Winterfest in Conway, South Carolina. I got to get a plug in the South Carolina Barbecue Association. I think this is the last one of the year. And not mistaken, I think George King has already won the team of the year from, I can't think of the name of it. Can't Quit Smoking. So anyway, congratulations to him. But also, like I said, another very well-run event. It's been around for a while. And hopefully they'll have a good turnout down there. And then we've got a new contest coming up this weekend, which I'll probably be a part of. It's the Southern Barbecue Network event, SBN. It's being put on by the Charleston Harbor Inn right there on Mount Pleasant. Matt Galvin, who will be on later, tell us a little bit more about this event. It's the first one they've had. I think they've had some like local events there. They just want to get a sanctioned event this year. I think there's 34 teams involved. There's three teams actually going for Team of the Year. In SBN, all top three teams will be there. Very few points separate them. So basically, whoever wins this out of those three teams will take home the team of the first ever Team of the Year in the Southern Barbecue Network. So hopefully, we might be able to have part of that. But like I said, it looks like it's going to be a very well run event. Like I said, we'll have Matt come on here in just a little bit and talk more about it. And go from there. We've got some other FBA events coming up. The Triple Crown and everything's coming up. And in FBA, several teams going to be taking part in it. It's good winter queue going on. And, you know, we'll see how everything goes this week. A lot of good barbecue left. And this week is going to be jam-packed full of events. Great events, should I say. Some new, some old. And, you know, hopefully it'll be great venues and everything. So, looking forward to this weekend. A lot of people are saying this will be the last comp of the year, and it probably will be for us, too. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I might get invited to some other ones, but we'll see what happens. I want to give a congrats later on also. David Buzka from Butcher Barbecue will be on towards the end of the show, talking about his win out at World Food Championships and all the little things that happen to them out there. Also pushing his products, great products out there. We use them at Killer Bee's Barbecue, and we place very high with them. So if you get a chance, order you some Butcher. You can always trust your Butcher. So go to butcherbarbecue.com online and get you some injections and rubs, and they'll increase your odds of winning. We have a first caller tonight, 678-513-0635. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, it's Randall.
Hey, Randall, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
We're doing good. I guess we missed you up there at Gainesville. You were probably getting ready for this competition coming up.
I was. It's, you know, about the two-week period before the event is just kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I know last year was your first event, and, I mean, it was very impressive.
Well, thank you. We try hard, and we're going to keep trying and see what we can build this into.
Well, there's a lot of events that I've been to that, you know, they could probably use yours, even though this is only the second year. They could probably use yours as a model. I mean, just about how everything's laid out, the you know, how you take care of cookers, because I know you're a cooker yourself, and we compete a lot against each other. And
sure.
We do a lot during the year, and so you kind of know what we go through, and you go to these other events, and, you know, you say, well, you know, we might add this to our event, or, you know, they need to do this or something. I mean, you're always thinking about your event throughout the year, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It you know, it really never ends. I mean, you know, we did 18 to 20 events this year, you know, on a personal level, and there were some good things and some bad things, and you know, you kind of take and kind of melt all those together and try to learn from the mistakes you see others making and try to prevent those that have from happening at your own. And I think from a cooker standpoint, I think, you know, things have gone really well, and I don't think we have a lot of issues to overcome from the competition standpoint. You know, we're blessed with the facility because it really is laid out just ideal for what we do. You know, we're not dealing with pulling temporary power and, you know, teams having to be stacked literally on top of each other. And, you know, when the event's over on Saturday, teams will be able to pull out without somebody right in front of them. And, you know, you'll have your own water hookups and your own power hookups. And, you know, it should ease, you know, some of the issues you have at some other contests. So, you know, that is one thing we don't have to deal with is some of the stuff that other facilities do.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, last year we loaded out on Saturday. Actually, we loaded out on Sunday morning. There's quite a few teams left from Saturday night because I guess it is such a great venue. But I noticed, you know, Saturday after competition, everything wasn't all congested. Everybody kind of, you had a couple entrances and exits there. They didn't have to all cram pack into one exit. And like you said, they weren't all on top of one another. You had different thoroughfares they could go around and do this and do that. And it seemed like congestion was way down at your event compared to some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were in an event a few weeks ago, and you know, they stacked the team in front of us, and I think I was the last guy off site because I had to wait for the guy in front of me to leave. You know, we were broke down and ready to go before awards were over, but, you know, if you can't get to your trailer to hook it up, it doesn't do much good.
That's true. You just got to sit back and I guess some teams probably look for that. And they say, well, if you want me to get out here, then you come over and help me finish packing up. But, you know,
yeah.
Like I said, we got in real easy last year and got out. I mean, there's plenty of room to, you know, pull your trailer in and out, back it in or out or whatever. And like I said, it's just a really good venue. You know, nobody was really on top of one another unless you wanted to be. You know, even where I was at, you know, you were right next to me.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of made one big spot and two small spots, but, you know, it's kind of what me and Georgia boys wanted. But, you know, we were out there by you and, you know, still had 15 feet between me and you. So, I mean, it was a good, you know, plenty of room. And, you know, the flat spot, which you got, I think, gonna take more advantage of this year, is going to really be a blessing to a lot of teams, especially the single team members and, you know,
yeah. We've made some layout changes this year that should make it even better. There won't be any teams up past the arena on the top that are really far away. We are still running carts and doing the same stuff we did last year, but there won't be, you know, that long walk for some teams. It'll be basically from that arena where the concerts were last year, be the furthest walk.
Yeah, that's not too bad because, you know, like I said, we were right there by that. We were down the hill just a tad, but. You know, we walked, we'd given just for fun our golf cart so they could do turn-ins and stuff without, you know, waiting on anybody. And, yeah, we walked ours down there, and, you know, several teams did. But, you know, it was good. Like I said, it wasn't a long walk. It was about a minute and a half, which is, you know, pretty much standard. And, you know, we were one of the, I guess we weren't one of the furthest teams away, but as far as on the bottom level, you know, it didn't kill you going to turn-in.
Right.
And, you know, knowing that y'all had to turn and it wasn't all the way at one end, which was really good. You know, it kind of split the flat part up a little bit. And, you know, I know last year you had a lot of the kiddie rides and vendors and stuff set up down there.
Yeah,
and,
we had a kid zone that I think our thought process was a little too grandiose, and it wasn't real cost effective. We still have a kid zone. We've just kind of revamped what we're doing and moved its location, and I think what we're bringing in this year will actually be kind of more bang for your buck. I think it's a better setup. You know, we've cut back on some of the vendors, and we're trying to, you know, really, truly jury them a little closer and make sure it's quality products. And there's a lot more barbecue-related items involved or cooking or outdoor-related items versus just kind of letting, you know, almost any vendor in that wants to come. You know, music's changed a lot. We have a headline concert on Friday night, which is Mac Powell of the group Third Day is doing a country crossover album. And the radio station that is our media partner has really got behind it. And for anybody in Metro Atlanta, I'm sure you've heard the commercials if you're listening to Kix 101.5 because it's being played constantly. You know, we did a lot more billboards. We've done a lot more marketing to help build attendance this year. And we're getting a tremendous amount of phone calls and emails from the general public asking questions, which we did not get last year. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with word of mouth, too. And I see there's a trailer running around like a billboard, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That is true. I had I had my competition trailer wrapped. You know, I wish I had gotten it done earlier in the year, but... you know, we're changing the dates on it, hopefully before the event this year, to show 2013's dates. But, you know, that thing, the trailer alone sits in front of probably 500,000 people just at the events we do. So it seemed a shame not to take advantage of, you know, having that displayed everywhere we go. And, you know, Jim, your trailer's wrapped too. So, I mean, you know, it gets lots of attention when you're just driving down the road. So, you know, it just kind of made sense to do it.
I get phone pictures at stoplights, and, you know, people are amazed. I had some bikers come up next to me and, you know, gave me a thumbs up, stopped at a red light. They said,
yeah.
Competition barbecue team, what's that? I said, professional. Oh, man, that's got to be cool, you know. And
yeah.
You know, people don't realize, you know, what you do, and then you correspond with the barbecue pit masters that you see on TV and stuff, and then they kind of get an idea what you're doing.
They're
like, man, it's, you know, so it's something, you know, a little bit out of the ordinary, you know, us that do it, you know, we're all kind of in the mix and everything, but for somebody outside, it's, you know, it's almost like a treat when they see a turtle like that. And I got people around here that, you know, I know that I've worked with before, around or for, and all this other stuff, and I'll see them go down the road, you know, they'll honk the horn, and I don't know if it's a good honk or a bad honk, but I just always think it's good. They notice me.
and for me, it's just so cost effective because, you know, considering the cost of billboards and, you know, TV advertising and newspaper advertising, it's just so much more cost effective to take advantage of that kind of space. Because, I mean, you're talking, my trailer is 28 feet long and 8 feet tall. So, I mean, it's a massive empty space. So it just kind of fulfill the need we had. So we went for it, and Terry McKay of Custom Signs and Graphics in Florida did it for us, and he's done a lot of rigs here for the barbecue world recently, and it was just a joy. I mean, you know, I shot a couple ideas, and his wife Melissa sent some designs back, and, you know, there it was. And a couple weeks later, he came up here to us and did it right there on the facility grounds where the National Barbecue Cup is. He stayed in the campground and did my trailer and another competition trailer, and it was that easy.
That's pretty cool when you get some of that. Like I said, it's a moving billboard, so you're actually reaching more people than you actually think you are because of all the people on the road. And
yeah.
I set up all for, you know, people that pass you or just get beside you, and you know, it kind of catches eye. You know, when you look at a billboard, you know, you got to look up, and, you know, there's thousands of them, so you don't have to look at every billboard. But when you see a trailer like that, you kind of want to, you know, make note of it and read it and see what it's all about and everything. So,
I
thought pretty eye-catching. So, you know, I was impressed with it. It looked really good. And, you know, hopefully you generate some more interest from people with that going up down the road.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, people, our backyard entries for this year, we're right at 50 teams for backyard, and people keep, you know, other organizers are calling asking me how we did that. And I wish I had an answer because I didn't do anything special. Somehow it's just happened, which is great because, I mean, I love the backyard guys. I actually sat down the other night to look at, you know, 2011's backyard teams and started realizing names that you and I have competed against all year in pros, and, you know, Smoking Swines and Jonathan Timmons. I mean, there's four or five guys that cooked backyard in the National Barbecue Cup last year that have cooked, you know, 10-plus pro events this year. So I was kind of happy with that. I thought that's where I want to be. I really like to see the backyard guys step up, and, you know, if my event can kind of propel people into wanting to do that, that's a wonderful thing to be able to accomplish.
Right. It's like I said, it's good to have backyard because, you know, I don't know about you, but there was nothing around here for me to go backyard. I had to jump and probe, you know, both feet. And
I never cooked a backyard event. So, I mean, there weren't that many, which, you know, and really it's been the last couple of years that people started adding backyard. And it really does make sense because that's those are the guys that have seen it on TV and have always played around in the backyard. And you know, I don't have to tell you or any of the listeners how expensive it is what we do. And it's nice for these guys to be able to, you know, cook two or three categories and not have as big an entry fee and kind of get their feet wet before they just jump in. And, you know, I wish those would have been around when I started because I certainly would have done some.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us would. Like I said, you know, I'm hoping some of these other venues that they have room for backyard, even if it's 10 or 15 or whatever, it kind of gets, what I see also, it kind of gets community more involved because, you know, a lot of your backyard teams are from that local area.
Right.
You know, they see the pros come in and say, oh, I'm going to get my butt kicked, you know, by blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you have some bragging rights and stuff. You go in the backyard and you do this, that, and, you know, they need even less than we do as far as amenities or whatever. But, you know, you always take, you know, there's a couple teams that have kind of taken under our wing and kind of helped along. And, you know, they get a call here and a call there. And just to see the looks on their face, you know, when they get those calls, it's just, I mean, it's almost priceless, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's just,
No, it is. I mean, it's I don't think there's a better thing in the world than knowing that some guy you helped just got a call. I think that's a wonderful thing. And you know, I think, you know, most of the pro teams, I think, have helped somebody in backyard at some point. And it's and I don't think any of them would tell you that they regret it. I mean, that's a great thing to be able to help these guys and to share, you know, some of the stuff. I mean, you know, I had a backyard guy next to me a couple of weeks ago that was, you know, cleaning kale to put in his box. And, you know, we had to, you know, explain some things to him about how you can't do that. And he ended up getting a third place call in pork, which, you know, he would have been disqualified.
Right. So, you know, like, yeah, a lot of times they overlook some of the smaller rules in there that we all live by, you know, week in, week out. You know, I always think of us as like either carnies or, you know, traveling gypsies or whatever.
Well, we kind of are.
You go to a town and you know, set up, and you there for 2 days, you break down, you go on back home, and it's, you know, this town every week and all this stuff. It's just, but, you know, it gets in your blood. Like I said, you know, when you get these backyard, they get a taste in their mouth, and, you know, they get the whole ambiance of the whole thing. They get to talk to some of the pro teams and even some you've seen on TV and all this other stuff. Just gets their blood boiling.
Yep.
They're like, you know, I can actually carry on a conversation about barbecue with, say, like Johnny Trigg or Rod Gray or Tuffy Stone or one of them.
Yeah.
They want to talk, you know, I mean, it's not like, they're all stuck up and everything. I mean, all these people down earth. I mean, look at barbecue and all that he's done and everything. And I mean, he's, you know, they're all pretty much good as gold. I mean,
and all they are. I've done a lot of things in my life, and I tell you what, the overall the best group of people that I've ever met are the barbecue, you know, family. It's you know, prime example, you know, a team breaks down and they're, you know, a couple hours from a contest and, you know, a group of guys will stop what they're doing to go pick up their trailer and bring them to, you know, the contest, which, you know, Bubba did for the David Morrow with the Blue Bloods in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. You know, he was broke down on the side of I-85 in Norcross, and, you know, Bubba stopped all his prep stuff on Friday and got in his truck and went down and picked up their trailer and brought them up. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we all do, you know, and just about any of us would drop, you know, anything they were doing to help somebody else. And that, to me, is just not as common anymore as it once was. And this is a group of guys and ladies that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody competes against each other. And, you know, we always have our little Thursday or Friday night little get-togethers and stuff, which I think has really brought a lot of teams close together and, you know, kind of make it more, like everybody says, an extended family. And for those who don't compete or whatever, it's really a it's really almost touching that, you know, you've got all these extended friends out there, and no matter if you're barbecuing that weekend or whatever, you know, they live everywhere. So,
right.
You know, if you're in an area that, you know, one of your competitors lives in, I mean, 99.9% chance they're going to drop what they're doing and come over and help you because, you know, they've either been in their shoes or, you know, they're going to be in your shoes one day. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just really good. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie in there, and like I said, everybody kind of gets along. And, you know, even though we compete against each other on Saturday mornings and stuff, but, you know, it's all about, you got to let your guard down sometimes. You can't be uptight about these competitions. They can get to you sometimes. But, you know, all in all, I think, you know, most of the teams that we know are kind of laid back and just enjoying it. You know, it's kind of like a mini vacation in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's funny to me, too, because, you know, we're all very competitive when we all want to win, but we're all extremely ecstatic when, you know, one of our friends also gets their name called. And I just think that's one of the greatest things about it is it's almost as big a thrill to see somebody that you're close to, you know, get a check and a trophy for something, you know, almost as much as it is when you get one yourself. And, you know, it's really neat to watch, you know, grown men hug on a Thursday when they see each other and they just left each other the Saturday before.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like the bro hugs, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's all good. You know, like I said, you know, I've got a little bit different setup than you do, so it might require a little bit more flavor. And, you know, when I got to Gainesville, you know, George Boers was there, old plantation on the other side, and I put my canopy up. I didn't even ask him, but before you know it, everybody grabbed the leg, pulled out within, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, the dang thing was up. And, you know, I can't tell myself, but it takes like 30 minutes. And, you know, if other people are doing stuff, I try not to bother them. But, you know, it's like you don't really have to tell them to help you.
No. It's, you know, normally when you see somebody struggling or needing some help, you just kind of jump in. And that is one of the neat things about it. I mean, you know, if you forgot something, you can for sure somebody will lend it to you. And, you know, I've had gurus go out and all kinds of things. And, you know, there's always people willing to help you.
Yeah, I always carry a spare gear with a thing, and I actually had to lend it to Kenny Cannon from the pit crew up in Hendersonville, Tennessee at the Sam's Club.
Yeah.
I was just doing something funny, and I said, here, try my my programmer and see if it's a programmer, if it's a cable or whatever. And it was a programmer. It was really messing with it. It would go up and down and all this other stuff. So I lent them my spare, and, you know, they were able to finish the cook. You know, just, well, hell, even Michael Mixon from Jack's Old South this past weekend, he was over talking to Scott about his thermopin. You know how,
yeah,
you know, we rely on those. And his batteries went out, and he couldn't find any batteries for it anywhere nearby, whether, I don't know if he knew what kind of batteries he took or whatever, but anyway, I actually took some out of my spare thermopin.
Right.
And put it and gave them to him, and he was, you know, as cocky as he can be or whatever, he was truly, he's a dude, he just saved my cook.
Yeah. Well, even those that I mean, they, you know, even guys that are somewhat, you know, a little arrogant or think sometimes they're still appreciative when they get help, and they'll normally return the favor as well, so.
Well, that's why you look at it, you know, it's a thing, I guess, unspoken thing with this barbecue is kind of, you know, pass it on.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And you know, I see it all day long. It doesn't matter who's what where, you know. Jeff came over, got some parsley from us, won a contest. You know, you don't have to give them. You don't have to do this. They don't expect it. But, you know, it's nice when you can give back. And
yeah, you know, barbecue is a very giving group of folks anyway. I mean, I'd venture to bet 90 to 95% of all the events, you know, barbecue-related are done for charitable reasons. You know, this past weekend in Gainesville, it was for the Children's Stocking Fund for the Gainesville JCEs, which, you know, according to their post, they were able to raise some money, and that's a great cause. And, you know, we formed a 501c3 nonprofit for the National Barbecue Cup just itself, and 100% of the proceeds are going back to various children's and women's charities here in the community. But just about everyone that we, especially that you and I do here in the South, you know, I can't speak for other regions, but just about everyone we do is for a nonprofit. Cleveland was for, you know, United Way. The one in Calhoun coming up in December is a United Way benefiting event. I mean, they're, you know, it's that's really what a lot of the folks involved in this are doing is finding ways to raise money for charitable causes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that ought to be a mandatory thing for, you know, the barbecue events. You know, we've got a good friend of ours, Rob Marion, up there in New York cooking for the barbecue relief.
Yeah.
And I think, what are they, well over 100,000 meals they served in the last, what, 10 days?
I bet. That's an amazing program. We've donated some stuff over the last year and a half to them, and yeah, I wish there was more we could do. Unfortunately, it seems like every time something happens, it's right in the middle of busy times for us where we can't break away and do stuff. But I would love to be able to help more and do some more things, and hopefully in the future we can get more involved. But that's Operation Barbecue Relief is such a great idea. And, you know, when it first came about, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, this just makes sense because, you know, a smoker, especially these larger ones, I mean, you know, I've got one we use for catering that will hold 800 or 900 pounds of pork butts.
Yeah.
You know, that feeds a lot of people.
Well, you figure a quarter pound per person, I mean, you're looking at 3,600 people right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of meals, and you know, you get, you know, 10, 12 of those, you know, on site, or you get a couple of guys with Lang 84s and, you know, various, you know, cookers, you can, you know, us barbecue guys can put out some massive amounts of food.
Oh, yeah, you give us 24 hours, we can get at least two or three cooks off ours. You know, we can wrap them up and, you know, do butts in 8 hours and stuff and, you know, have them done and, you know, perfectly seasoned and ready to go and be the best barbecue they ever ate. And, you know, people, they're very appreciative of it. And, just got so many really good testimonies from people up in New York and stuff, because, you know, up there, it's barbecue's kind of far and few between from what I've taken from other teams and stuff. But, you know, for them to go up there and really pass it on up there, it's really does the barbecue world. I mean, it really helps us out a lot, because you got a lot of sponsors just sitting there waiting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to do this, and I want to be part of, you know, something, a team or something, and, you know, or this program, and get really donating. Several people, you know, have stated that, you know, they've never heard of it before, but they have now. And as soon as they get back on their feet, they're going to constantly donate to this because of such worthy cause and how they've been. I mean, some people hadn't had a hot meal in 3 weeks. And,
well, I truly believe that you're going to see Operation Barbecue Relief grow in just leaps and bounds over the next couple of years. I think the network of barbecue guys that have the ability to show up on site and be able to put out large amounts of food, I think it's going to really make an impact over the next couple of years, and you're going to start seeing some large national brands and national charities get involved to help it prosper and get to where it needs to go to really help more people.
I have seen where there's been quite a few grocery chains and places like Smithfield and some other big producers have been donating a lot of products to their efforts, and you know, a lot of people donating money, which is always a plus. And, you know, that's the least we can do for them. But, you know, like I said, it's just a great, great item to have, you know, when disaster strikes and everything. Because, you know, really, truthfully, and you admit it, you know, with our trailers, we can mobilize in, you know, 6 hours, we're ready to go. You know,
we can
throw extra charcoal in there and all that stuff and, you know, we can at least cook for, you know, 3 or 4 days without any supplies, unless it's meat, you know, as far as the truck is concerned. And, you know, like you said, we can pump out a lot of food in 3 or 4 days, even just with, you know, the cookers we cook on. So.
Oh yeah, well, just the cookers we use in competition. I mean, I don't know how many your cabinet cooker will hold, but my cabinet will hold, you know, 20 or 25 pork butts. So I mean, that alone is a pretty massive amount of food. Especially if you do, you know, you keep that going 24/7, you're moving some food.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like I said, if, you know, a lot of people went up to that area, and, you know, when Joplin, they started Joplin, Missouri, and when that hit, a lot of teams from the southeast and stuff went up there, and, you know, then you had Tuscaloosa, teams went over to Alabama. So, you know, it's... you can get mobilized pretty easily, and like you said, it just seems like every time something like that happens where, you know, like me and you or whoever else wants to be a part of it, normally we're busier than hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we've donated money to kind of help them out. You know, we did try to help them that way, but, you know, like I said, if it happens around our area, you know, we're going to jump in and do our part and go over there and, you know, help people out. That's what it's all about. You know, like I said, we help each other out at competitions, you know. And like I said, barbecues have got a pretty good name. You know, before it just seemed like a bunch of drunks just sitting around a fire, you know.
If people only really knew, it's really not like that.
Sometimes it is.
Well, sometimes Thursdays are a little interesting, but that's the fun time.
Yeah, sometimes we can cook some food and put it on a box.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... you know, like I said, it's a really good community. There's a lot of really good teams out there, a lot of really good people. I mean, we're from Kentucky to everywhere. I mean, it's just, you know, you mentioned barbecue, and they're willing to sit down and talk with you about it and, you know, different regions and everything. It makes it really good.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, barbecue is universal. I mean, you know, every inch of the world has some version of, you know, food cooked over flame and fire and, you know, with heat produced from fire, and it's, you know, everybody's got some input.
And what else are you going to have? We'll get back to your National Barbecue Cup. What else do you have? I know last year you had raffles on some smokers. And,
we got some, let's see, this year we're raffling a Primo XL with a table. We've got a Lang 36 patio model, and we've got a Lang fire pit. We've got... Oh, Lord, we've got a concert on Friday night, which is Mac Powell's third day. We've got three concerts on Saturday, which are various regional bands from here around coming in Metro Atlanta. We have 17 food vendors. We have about 45 craft vendors. We're sitting at about 130 teams total right now between backyard and pro. That number will still grow a little bit over the next couple of days. There's some applications that are sitting that are awaiting, you know, some final payments and some other things. We've got the People's Choice. We're actually doing two People's Choices on Friday night, one of chicken wings and one of Brunswick stew. And we've got People's Choice with pork on Saturday. We're just trying to really do some things to get the crowd more involved. You know, everybody comes to barbecue events thinking because you've got 130 teams that they're going to get to eat from 130 teams. And that, you know, and we all know that's the biggest issue with every event. The general public thinks that, and that's just not the case. So we're trying to create more opportunities for the general public to get to try food, to make them a little bit happy. Because, you know, you get some complaints no matter how well the event is, and the only issues we ever heard was we got four or five emails about, you know, not getting to eat from every team.
Right.
And, you know, I wish it was that easy, and I wish every team would come in and just beat everybody, and it was, you know, all great. But, you know, I know from my standpoint, I compete by myself about half the events of the year. The other half, you know, my wife will come and run boxes. I just don't have the manpower to do People's Choice. Not that I don't want to and that I don't want to give back. It's just it takes away from, you know, the competition end of things, and I just don't have the time or the labor to be able to do it. And there's a lot of teams like that. I mean, you know, you compete by yourself a lot, and you know, your wife comes and helps you. But it's hard. You know, Bubba's the same way. You know, sometimes Shannon will be there, sometimes she won't. It's, you know, People's Choice is just not always an option for some of us. But you know, those we've got, I think right now we have 62 teams doing People's Choice on Saturday, and there's 75 or so doing chicken wings and Brunswick stew on Friday.
That's good. That's a pretty good. When you get half more of your teams to get involved in that, that's always a good thing.
Well, that's kind of how I felt about it. I mean, you know, we're giving some chicken wings to the teams doing chicken wings, and we're giving two pork butts to the guys doing pork. So, I mean, we're trying to help, make it a little bit easier. But, you know, I was ecstatic we got that many. I mean, that to me is an astronomical number anyway to take part in that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, any time a cooker, if you got a chance, you got the manpower, just don't lay down. You know, just if you can help out, help out. Because, like I said, the organizer knows who does what. And, you know, you try to take care of them. If there's any little issue or whatever, you kind of bend over backwards, kind of make sure, you know, teams that are helping you out are, you know, very well taken care of.
Oh, and, sure. Well, and every organizer knows what teams do things. You know, I mean, we all know. I mean, you know who tends to complain and who doesn't, and who's really easygoing and who helps solve problems. I mean, you know, everybody knows. But I will tell everybody. You know, to me, is from the organizer standpoint, I love dealing with the teams. I mean, I'm friends with most of you guys, most of us as a team, and most other teams. Most of the problems get handled on your own. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own hose splitters and adapters for electricity and all that. It's the other aspects from an organizer standpoint that tend to be more labor intensive to deal with. And, you know, you start dealing with vendors and you start talking about massive numbers of the general public, and you just have different things to deal with that are not quite as simple as the teams. The teams are really the easiest part of the whole event.
Yeah, we've kind of adapted, you know, over the years, especially even if it's a new team. I always carry extra hose splitters, you know. I even got a 4-1, so if, you know, people want to tie off me. I mean, you know, Michael teed off me this year, and then somebody teed off him, and, you know, just kind of leapfrog going down. So, you know, on the hose picker, there was only like two splitters on there, but hell, we were feeding 10 teams.
Yeah, and that's what we do. I mean, my trailer, I've got hose splitters and just about every electrical adapter known to man. And you know, and if I don't have it, by golly, we'll figure out how to get it done. But you know, between the four or five guys around us, usually we can get something figured out.
Yeah, somebody's always got an adapter or something that you can use. Like I had to borrow one from Bill Childs Artillery last year from Dillard.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, yeah, I got two of them. So, you know, I made sure I took it back to him and thanked him and everything. And, you know, so, you know, it kind of comes back to you. I mean, Midnight Burn had an issue with one of their cords. So I lent them one of my cords and a 50 to 30 amp because their AC unit was giving them fits. And
right.
Make sure they definitely had enough power, and I didn't know if 30 amp was a true 30 amp. So, you know, I had the dog bone and, you know, gave them that so they could, you know, get through some AC up there in Greenwood. And, you know, all that power was up there. Just,
oh,
you know,
yeah, well, and then you needed AC in Greenwood.
Well, a lot of these people that do these promotion stuff, they don't realize exactly how much power some of these teams need.
No, they don't. And part of the problem with some when you start pulling temporary power through a parking lot too, just because there's a 30-amp plug doesn't mean there's 30 amps getting to it. Because if you've got 10 teams plugged in before you and there's only 100 amps coming through it, there's no way that the 30 amps is hitting the end. And and then that's what people don't realize. And that again, that's one of the reasons that our facility's so great, because you have hard hookups everywhere. So if you're plugging into a 30-amp plug, you're actually getting 30 amps. You know, when you plug into a 50-amp plug, you actually have 50 amps. You know, to my knowledge, we didn't even have a circuit flip at all during the event last year. If it did, it was obviously handled without my knowledge. So,
well, you know, we're pretty adaptable on that, too. We're not
afraid
to go.
Well, no, we do tend to just handle things. I mean, I've reset circuits on game boxes many a times at events because it was, you know, it's just the way to fix it and the quick, easy thing.
Because they got so many other things on their plate. And, yeah, like you said, we're pretty much well adapted to certain situations, and you know, if we can't fix it that way, then you know, all else fails, we'll get the organizer. But you know, like I said, we're pretty adaptable, and we don't require a whole lot to survive out there. You know,
we don't. And you know, you're set up like I am. I mean, we're pretty self sufficient. I mean, it's we could probably go in the middle of nowhere in an empty pasture, and we could all, you know, set up and cook.
Yeah. So it's been pretty good, and. You know, I wish I could be out there this year, Randall, but I'm not going to be able to make it. I've got other things on my plate this weekend. And Matt Gowan, he's on another line right now. He's the organizer of Smoke on the Harbor, the SBN event.
Okay.
He's going to go in with it a little bit. And I'd like for you to talk, because like I said, this is his first year and everything. And,
I think that I've met him. I think I met him at a thing we went to down in Evans, Georgia with Rod Gray.
Yeah. So he'll be coming on here in a minute. I've got one guy that's been holding on, Randall, for about 18 minutes now.
Okay.
I'm going to bring him on.
Okay.
956-221-1000. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Who do we have?
This is Arnie Segovia, Smoking Lone Star.
From where?
Texas.
Oh, how
South
you
Texas.
Doing?
Doing okay.
So how's the weather down in Texas?
we got our first decent cool front. They call it a cold front because it got down to 60 degrees, but it's really more of a cool front today, and so it's really, really nice.
So are you competing this weekend?
Not this coming one. We did one this past weekend. It was a pretty good size event. 64 teams, I believe it was.
Was that in Oklahoma or Texas?
It was in Mercedes, Texas.
Oh, okay. Was that a KCA?
It was the second annual, it was called the Hispanic Heritage Festival of some sort. And we grand championed there last year on their first annual and came in third overall this past weekend. My ribs didn't do anything. It's funny. This sometimes cooking is funny because those ribs, you know, I've got like four first places this year and several top tens, a few top fives. This one they didn't even make final tables. Same exact recipe. So you just never know in barbecue world.
Oh, that's true. We all run through it. I know Ram will compete, and he's run through it too. And this weekend we were all over the board. I had two judges that really loved my food, two that said it was all right, and two that hated it. So
gotta love those.
Yeah,
things.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah. It's different if they all hate it. You know, they didn't like it, but you know, when you had number one team in the country finished 13th, and number three team finishing 14th, and several really good teams in the teams. You know, just just wasn't meant to be. It was just one of them weekends where you heard a lot of new teams being called, and I don't know if it was regional flavors or whatever that really took a part in this one, but, you know, it was a very well-run event. It was, I enjoyed it. I'll be back next year. But, you know, some of the teams were up there, but there again, some of the teams from Kansas City and Maryland and stuff didn't fare so well, but, you know, Georgia did represent, I will say that, Randall, represented quite. So, but anyway, we all fall in that trap every now and then, but, you know, we're going to be humbled sometimes, so. You know, can't
really... ain't that the truth? Yeah.
But,
it's funny, I think you said this a minute ago, a lot of times when you really like your food, you don't do anything, and when you don't, you hit. That's really funny because this weekend I was super confident in my ribs. I thought, man, these are it. They're top three, and I let a couple of my neighbors taste it, friends of mine that cook too, and they're like, oh, man, we wish we could cook a rib like that. And so I was pretty sure they were going to be 1, 2, 3, worst-case scenario, top five. And I was really more concerned about my chicken because I started a little bit late. I was like, man, I'm weird. And then I switched it from the smoker to the grill to get a little extra crisp on it. And that all full of ashes, so I brushed it off with some butter and resauced it. The last second, I said, man, that chicken ain't going to do nothing, man. I'm getting hopefully brisket's good and ribs are good. And brisket got seventh place, and the chicken got first. We collected $1,000 check for that, and we didn't do nothing on ribs. I was like, man, that's so crazy. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, usually when you have more adversity on a category at a competition, you can do very well, you know.
Yeah.
I thought I had again, and, you know, bombed, and probably should have stayed home. But, you know, I went up there because this is probably my last event. I can see a lot of my Georgia buddies at because I'm heading to South Carolina this weekend. And I do, you know, over here in Georgia, we've been blessed to have the opportunity to do, about 4 or 5 different sanctioning bodies.
Yeah, we've got quite a few. We've got MBN and KCBS and GBA and FBA, and there's been some IBCA stuff done once in a while here, too.
Well, I'm over here. We got South Carolina Barbecue Association and FBN, which is Southern Barbecue Network, which I really love to be part of because I think it's a really good up-and-coming. It's got a lot of KCBS qualities in it, and because, you know, they take a lot of their stuff from KCBS. And on that note, I've got the organizer for the Smoking on the Harbor, Matt Gallen, on the air right now, and hopefully he can talk a little bit about his event coming up. And, you know, Randall, You put on a hell of an event. Maybe y'all got something in common, or maybe there's something he might need help with, whatever. But I know sanctioning these events is not really all that easy. But I know with Randall, with him competing, he knows a lot of the do's and don'ts just from other teams, you know, talking amongst themselves or at the Thursday night fires and all this other stuff. So, you know, Randall does take mental notes, but Matt's coming in more from more of an organizer slash. Aren't you kind of like a chef down there, Matt?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Jim.
How you doing, buddy?
We're good, thank you. Yeah, we're coming in. We do special events and other kind of, you know, parties and weddings and those sort of things at the resort. You know, the first annual Smoke on the Harbor Barbecue Throwdown is benefiting the Lowcountry Food Bank, so we're doing a big food drive for it. And it is the first year, and, you know, everything that Randall's saying, you know, is just hitting it spot on. We're encountering that same stuff, and it's really pretty exciting what we have going on here, and a nice strong showing with 31 competitors so far, and we're excited. We're real excited.
Well, that's an SBN. That's a especially first year, it's kind of a big event when you have that many teams in there. And, you know, they're coming from all over. I mean, I think you've only got one team from Georgia there, don't you?
Yes, sir, we do. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, they are.
Well, you know, you got two competitions this weekend, too, between us and Cumming and Plant City, Florida. And I've heard that Plant City is up about 20 teams from last year. They're at 73 or 74, which last year they had 49, and the year before they had 44. So it seems that barbecue's growing massively anyway. And I looked at their team list, and we didn't lose any teams to them. It's just new teams coming in.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, you're looking at, well, that's 200. You're looking at 250 teams competing between the three events this weekend, and that's huge.
That's in three southeastern states, too. So, I mean, that's just, and you got the SCBA over there in Conway. And
right.
They got 30 and 40 teams on there because that's the last one for the SCBA.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like I said, like I said at the beginning of my show, this is the last big hoorah for barbecue. Even though there's a few contests after this, you know, as far as competition standpoint, you know, when you get around Thanksgiving, this is the last time that, you know, teams start thinking about points and all that stuff. This is the last hoorah, so to speak. So.
No, it is. I mean, we, you know, the Georgia Barbecue Championship thing ends at our event this weekend, and then the Smithfield Rib Series that's done through the KCBS stuff ends this weekend at our event.
Yeah.
And of course, then the KCBS Team of the Year points. I think you've only got two or three events after this one, and, you know, a couple of them are way far out there.
Yeah.
You know, they're Arizona and California, and I guess we've got Calhoun, Georgia, and Demopolis, Alabama, on the same weekend after this. So there's not a lot to get points left.
Now, this is, well, being the same teams you have, too, this is a big point getter for some of these teams running for Team of the Year. So this is really going to help them. You know, whoever wins it is going to pick up a lot of points.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why you get a lot of the who's who's and everything, because it is a 300-point contest.
Yeah.
And, Matt, you got a few things going on down there in Charleston, too. Now, I'll admit, I came down there and did my Sam's Club down there. And Charleston is just one of the towns you cannot help but love. I mean, just the food, the quaintness of it, the architecture, cobblestones. I mean, you got everything going on. You got a lot of visitor attractions. Now, I noticed you have a different backdrop for the cookers than what most venues have. Can you explain what's in the backdrop of where we're going to be cooking?
Sure, absolutely. We are very fortunate to be located right on Charleston Harbor, so we'll have a nice waterfront view. And we are blessed to be in such a wonderful place, such a destination that is so popular right now. And so we think that, you know, as we grow this event, we are getting quite a nice response from it all. And, you know, you first start getting something going, you're like, okay, not so sure about things. And it's almost like if you build it, they will come. And they're really the amount of interest and response that we've had from the community as well as the cook teams who are going to be traveling, you know, into Charleston from 100-150-mile radius, some a little bit further. But there's all kinds of teams that are here in Charleston that are like, oh, you know, we'd love to do this sort of thing. And I think we're seeing what this is, you know, showing around the rest of the nation, too. I mean, this is a big thing. It's a big subculture, as you guys know, and so we're really excited to just be part of it.
And what kind of little things y'all have going on? I know we've got the chicken wing contest on Friday night. You know, one thing about ESPN is, you know, they normally, you know, it's a good charity and everything, but they also supply the butts for you to cook with, so it keeps everybody kind of on level playing field. But they also, you know, the cook teams get a chance to you know, the their food, and then once they turn it in, they can serve it to people and stuff and see what they think about it. And, you know, which is a really good thing. Sometimes it can be a little bit too much if you're doing it by yourself. It gets a little much, but I would guess most of the organizers will wait until after all the turn-ins and, you know, give you a little bit of time to get your meat prepped, and, you know, they're not really hassling you to get it out there at a certain time. It has to be here right now. But you've got a few little competitions within competitions coming down there too. That you, I think, just found out about today, didn't you?
We do. We're going to be doing the People's Choice Awards for the wings as well as the pork butts. We're also going to be doing the best booze. But then to take it up a notch, we just found out that this is going to be a triple shootout for the SBN, with the top three teams are all going to be competing in this event. And whoever takes this event is going to take Team of the Year.
And who would those teams be?
So those teams would be Killer Bees Barbecue.
Hey, I know that
Mike
guy.
Mike Catering. Yeah, maybe you heard of him. Mike Catering and Qology. So we're really excited about that. We've got a strong press surge that we've been doing, media blasts, you know, 7-8 radio stations, all the social media. There's print advertisement, TV. And so we're excited. I mean, it's going to be good. First one, we're excited.
I read somewhere where the winner also gets put on the front of the Charleston, is it Wine and Dining magazine that you have?
Well, there'll be a little bit of a write-up, but the grand champion is also going to be featured 2013 Charleston Wine and Food Festival. I think that's going to bring quite a bit to the table, and it's pretty exciting. Whoever the winner is, that grand champion, we're going to put him up at the resort for 3-4 nights during that festival.
There's a lot of little perks going on with this event. Like I said, being the first year that you have it, I think you're really going to grow, because as Randall said, you know, these little perks really bring in some extra teams that say, well, you know, what else they have besides this? And, you know, as we look at the fans as competitors, you know, it may sway some teams from one event to another. Just hospitality, you know, Randall, that I think one of the best hospitable events we ever go to is the Ball Fog down in Waynesboro. You know, community really comes out, supports it. I know Randall's community really, really gets behind him, and he's just growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, we all have a few contests on our schedule that are like a don't miss. It's not necessarily the money, but it's you know, the people, the community, and just overall the pleasing feeling we get from doing these certain events.
Sure. And that's one thing we realized as we're in sort of the research phase of this initially as we first started. And Randall, it sounds like I pick up quite a few nice pointers from him, but it's all about the competitors. You know, it's all about the camaraderie. It's all about just the fun of the barbecue. Again, we're very fortunate to be here in Charleston. It's a great setting. It's right on the water. And it's all about the competitors. So we want them to have a wonderful experience. We want to show them, you know, true Southern Charleston hospitality. You know, we'll be taking care of our competitors with, like, a team welcome gift bag with all kinds of fun little goodies in it, anything ranging from koozies to a gift certificate down to one of the Jewelers located on King Street for those that wish to do a little shopping while they're in town visiting. And we also have, you know, breakfast for the competitors. They can use the resort facilities, which includes the pool hall, jacuzzi, the private beach. We have showers down at the marina. We do have the largest marina in South Carolina. And we're just very fortunate to have this location, and we want to sort of spread the love and hope that everyone has a great time and wants to come back and visit Charleston.
Well, I think just your venue is just going to bring more and more people back. And, you know, you've got nowhere to go but up with this one, I do believe. Just the quality you have. Kind of like with Randall, you know, with his setting, he's got a little bit different setup. He's not on the water, but he does have really good flat ground and really ease of getting the competitors in and out. And I know he said it several times. He said, you know, without competitors, we wouldn't have a barbecue contest. So,
That's very true.
That's the foremost city of charity, but you also want to take care of the cookers, because, you know, the only way you're going to make it grow is just to make all the competitors feel welcome. And, you know, we don't ask for much. You probably already found that out, you know. But I think, you know, the backdrop of this, too, I think we're going to be looking at the bow of the USS Yorktown, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. So the Yorktown's pretty much a stone's throw away, the backdrop of the peninsula of Charleston and the Holy City with all the church steeples and whatnot that's just across the harbor, catching the sunset. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. We're excited. You know, you guys talk about, you know, giving back to the community and charities and teaming up there. We're really excited and proud to team up with the Lowcountry Food Bank on this. The timing being right before Thanksgiving, we'll be hosting a big food drive, and we've got some high goals set for that, and I think we're going to be able to deliver. And, you know, we're just really excited. So pretty much crossing T's and dotting I's right now and getting her done.
Well, that's always good. Like I said, especially food bank this time of year is just, it's really, really good. Cause like I said, you know, you give people hot meals and, you know, a holiday meal and everything, and it just makes them feel all nice and warm inside, and they're very appreciative. And then they get back on their feet, they're going to make, take care of them, they're going to make pieces. So that's something that people forget. You know, as far as we love helping the communities out when we come into town.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd like to give a big shout-out to a lot of our sponsors. Randall knows a lot of this can't be, you know, undertaken without the support of sponsors. And we've been real fortunate, even with kind of a small window going into, you know, the fall schedule. And, you know, Piggly Wiggly came on for title sponsor. They're coming in real strong, helping us out there with some meat and just another little perk they're doing is sending all the competitors a little bit of a nice token of appreciation, sending them one of the pig cards, which is good for 15%, 20%, a bunch of other discounts and savings on some of their supplies, you know, that they may have to stock up on before they come down, because we do realize it costs teams money to come down, and there's the cost of traveling and supplies and fuel and all that stuff, and so I'm trying to help these guys out as much as we can.
Well, I know Randall's got a lot of sponsors, too. I think Mike Shore helping y'all out with Royal Oak again this year, Randall?
Royal Oak has – my relationship with Royal Oak is just amazing. I tell you what, I have not met a company that works quite like Royal Oak. They are some amazing folks. They do some great things. They're really behind our event. I can't thank them enough. You know, Smithfield stepped up, not just with the rib series, but they stepped up in other ways with some sponsorships and some other things to help the event. And, you know, Tyson stepped up with some things. You know, we've had some really good stuff happen this year, and hopefully that will continue. We're working on some really big things for 2013 as well that hopefully we'll be able to announce here in December or January that will, in what I see, be kind of a game changer of some things and really make this what our goal was. So, and, you know, you guys are right. Without sponsors and without cook teams, you couldn't do it. And, you know, we have a lot of local sponsors doing a little bit here and a little bit there, and I, you know, I couldn't even begin to thank all of them. There's a very lengthy list. We're very appreciative to everybody, from the people that donate pens for goodie bags to the people that write big checks for the event. You know, they're all truly appreciated, and we can't thank them all enough.
Yeah, I mean, every little bit's appreciated, I know. You know, even with the cook teams, you know, everything that y'all do for us, above and beyond, you know, it's well noted, and that's what I was saying, you know, as a cooker, it can really sway us from one event to another. We had a good experience here, and we know what to expect and everything. I mean, we're going to keep coming back, and it's just going to be an annual event year after year, and it's just going to continue to grow, because word of mouth in barbecue is the best advertising you can handle about events.
Right. No, it word of mouth is really how these events will grow, and, you know, we've been fortunate to develop some relationships over the years, and we've got some potential partners coming to the event this year to take part as a spectator, you know, we Jim, you know, I mean, we were in Las Vegas for the World Food Championship helping them do their contest, and you know, there was, and we went out there just for the networking, you know, opportunities and other things, and some of those things are coming back towards us for next year, and you know, that to me on the business side is what a lot of this is. We do a lot to, throughout the year to help the contest that a lot of people don't even see, you know, us doing, but it's a full-time job. We combine it with the other stuff that we're doing, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on to keep a contest going and growing.
You know, I met Matt up in the Pine back in July when they were trying to get this thing kicked off, and I think there was still, they had like one or two weekends they could do it and all this other stuff. He came up to me and I told him, I said, he gave me the thing, I thought, man, that same weekend is National Policy Cup. And told him, I said, I don't know if I can make that. I can't, you know, at this point, not going up past the Bulky Cup. Because, you know, that, to me, that was my last big hurrah. My buddies out there on the circuit and stuff, I don't see them again until February or March or whatever. So it's always like our last stop. And then I got the Team of the Year thing, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I won Union, I'm well ahead, and come to find out that some other teams have stepped up and they're right off my heels. And
well, say you can't pass up the chance of being Team of the Year.
In any sanctioning body these days, because like I said, the competition is so stout no matter where you go. And, you know, I think I'm 36 in KCBS in the country. And,
yeah,
I could be a few spots with that. But, you know, it's just something about just having a chance with Team of the Year in any sanctioning body. You know, trying to do it for Butcher Barbecue and Royal Oak and, you know, Southern Q and all them guys, you know, Even my local guy, Fireside, you know, he'd really love to have that TOY trophy sitting in his shop.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's got all the other ones, but, you know. But, you know, it's just being Team of the Year. I mean, we own a small sandwich shop, as you know, and, you know, putting that up there, Team of the Year and barbecue, I mean, I can't imagine what kind of business we would do after all that. We've been kind of quiet, but we've got some people. Columbia County Magazine wants to do an article on us. The girl from the Augusta newspaper wants to do an article. And a buddy of mine, was became a buddy of mine, a judge, his daughter does documentaries.
Right.
But she's in charge of this. She's going to be kind of hitting, but I was going to try to get a few of y'all involved in this thing. She's going to follow me to some competitions and stuff next year, and mainly up around the Atlanta area and stuff, and you know, we'll see how that, you know, how that takes off. Like I said, it's either a band of parties or a band of gypsies, you know, traveling from one spot to the next. But
well, so we're kind of all of the above.
Yeah, and it'll kind of show, you know, what we do and how we do it and how long it takes us to do this, and people have a little bit more appreciation of behind the scenes stuff that goes on. And I can see the really good side of barbecue. I haven't really seen any bad side of barbecue yet. And, you know, like I said, you see kids grow up in this. I mean, you know, it's just it's a family-oriented thing, and it's just really good. I mean, I think 99.9% of teams get along out there, and, you know, it's just a fun overall thing. And Matt, with you holding this event down there, you're going to see a lot of good things come out of that. I've checked a lot of teams out that are going to be down there, and a lot of them are my friends, and they're all good guys. Just watch out for geology there, a little strange, but.
All right. Will do. Well, you know, we were pretty excited, Jim, because I do recall up in Spruce Pine, and we were talking to you, and we were kind of considering, you know, which dates, which weekend. It's sort of last minute in the planning of these sort of events, as Randall knows. I mean, you know, the next day after an event, you know, for the next year, you're working on it, and it is a full-time job. And so if you said that, oh, you know, Tony's Georgia, you know, that's that weekend. Well, okay. You know, what can we do? Can't really compete. And, you know, that's a big one, and we're not shooting for the fences, grand slams this year. We're going to get it right. We're going to get it right the first time and continue to grow. And, you know, once we got that phone call from you thinking, oh, hey, I might just come on down there and check it out. It's exciting. This is really, really taken off just in the last probably, I don't know, 60 days or so. From you start out, don't really have any teams, and the word gets going. You know, people start hearing this is what's happening. We're doing public sampling, and I think it's a great opportunity for, you know, some of the locals who maybe have a restaurant or something like that. The sales and marketing promotion side is really I mean, you just can't pay for that in any sort of print advertising or marketing. And so anything we can do to help these teams out, help the community, give back for the food drive, you know, build relationships. That's what it's all about as well. You know, give people a fun time to talk about and want to come back next year.
Well, you know, and that's what's really helped rattle out being towards the end of the year, a lot of teams going towards points, and, you know, the money doesn't hurt either, but, you know, there's so many really, really good teams going to Randall's things that just shows you the level of competition that's still out there, still beating the bushes and not giving up. And, you know, they're going to be out there for their own personal reasons, like I said, with the, you got K2F DOI and you got GVCs and their team of the year points going on. And, you know, it's these little hidden things that a lot of the people don't see that's going on that it really adds some teams and adds some, you know, just a different level of competition to this thing. It's not just, oh, we're just doing competition. It's like, you know, I need to do this. I've got to do this. And so, you know, you get down towards the end, people, you know, they're still going to have a good time. But I think, as for me, when I go down there to Charleston, you know, I'm down there for an objective. And, you know, I've got a purpose to be down there. And, you know, I'm going to do my best to do whatever I can to win it. And, you know, some of these competitions just put a little bit more effort into it than others. And I think these two competitions right here are really going to hit the high notes with, you know, two different sanctioning bodies.
We're certainly
going to
try here and coming, and I know Charleston is going to do the same. We, you know, to me, you're wasting your time if you're not trying to do the best contest you can for all those involved in the community. And I don't want to speak, you know, for everybody on the line right now, but I know that we all wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we weren't going to try to do it the right way.
I couldn't agree more. And Randall, if you're ever in Charleston, look me up.
Oh, I definitely will. I'll, you know, Charleston is one of my favorite places in the entire country to visit. And if for anybody that has not been to Charleston, you should plan a trip, whether it's to, you know, the barbecue event this weekend or just a vacation at some point, because it is an amazing city to visit.
It really is.
So much history, really, really good food. I mean, you know, that's where Sheecraft Soup was born. I mean, it's just a great all-around city. I mean, they've got so much going for them as far as tourism and, you know, you got Isle of Palms, you got all these nice beaches around there, and
You're talking about one of the original, one of the original port cities of what began the United States of America. So I mean, there's as much history in Charleston as there is, you know, in Boston and New York and everywhere else, you know, up in the New England states. So I mean, it's truly an American classic city, and it's a must see for somebody, for everybody to see in their lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it really. I'm really looking forward to it. Me and my wife love Charleston. And, you know, it's only 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from my house, which is very, you know, makeable on the weekend. But, you know, it's hard for us to break away and go down there. But any chance we get like this or the wildlife expo they have down there and all that stuff, we try to attend it and, you know, try something new, go to a different restaurant or, you know, take a little horse carriage ride and all that stuff. And it's just a quaint city, and it's like I said, we love it. We just love the architecture and everything. I mean, the food isn't too bad either. I got to admit, the food's pretty awesome down there.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky down here. And you guys, you know, I mean, you just nailed it. You guys said it all so great. First shots of the Civil War shot from here, and yeah, regardless, you know, we encourage teams to come down, make an experience out of it, make it a little bit of a vacation. And if you're not competing this year, come down to Charleston. Stay with us at the resort, Charleston Harbor Resort Marina. Again, it's located right on Charleston Harbor. Got a great facility here, and would love to have, you know, anybody who is related to or has an interest in barbecue come down, and they can contact me directly. You know, if they're interested, we'd be happy to take care of them.
Well, I've got another caller on the line, and Randall probably knows this guy, and if you don't know him, Matt, you probably will soon enough. But not mistaken, this is the number of guys that just won the World Food Championship out there in the barbecue. One of my new sponsors has sponsored my team, and he's been so blessed to I think I put on my Facebook page kind of back cleanup around here. David Buska from Butcher Barbecue, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing real good.
So we've got two promoters on the line. Anything you've got to add?
Hey, I just got in. I had a town meeting, so I haven't got to listen to anything of what they were saying.
Well, we, of course, everybody in the just about the free world knew that you won the barbecue contest out there in the World Food Championship. Congratulations again. I know I talked to you earlier, but just want to say a big hurrah for you. And, you know, your product's really working well. And, Randall, I'm trying to get him to come to that Pastor Barbecue Cup. I don't know if that's...
I wish you would. I got to tell you, I walked over to Caesars for the final round, and I'm watching the side dish people all chopping their vegetables and the sandwich guys all working, and David and his guys are just kicked back in the chairs relaxing, and I'm thinking, this is why we do barbecue. It's on the cooker. It's working. It's doing what it's got to do, and everybody else is working their ass off. This is great.
Yeah, what we call that and everything, we say that's executing our plan.
That's right.
Got to psych them out, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had quite a few people did walk by, and what they were saying was like, are y'all part of this? Are y'all part of this? Yes, we are.
Yep.
We're working our asses off, can't you tell?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Little do they know that the prep and time you put into it, you know, before it goes on there. I mean,
yeah.
You're pretty much the other guys, you know. But ours just takes longer, so when they get ready to do theirs, like I said, the cooker and the meat's doing their thing, and there's nothing else you can do. You just sit there waiting and kind of get your thoughts together on the competitions and stuff. So, now, David, I think we made a notation of this. I think with your barbecue sauce this year, you got second at the Jack Daniels in the World Food Championship. And out there in Vegas, I think you took first at the sauce, didn't you?
Yeah, we took first at the Jack with our sauce and second at the World Food Championships with it.
So basically, from one side of the country to the other, it's pretty pretty good sauce from what I hear.
Yeah, it's well-liked, well-liked.
So you got anything new going on? I know y'all, one of my new sponsors, of course, and I appreciate it. And I use your pork and beef injections, and you got a grill injection out there now that you can use as a rub or as a brine or as an injection. And you got several rubs out there that I use. Maybe I'd get you to reiterate what all's going on with your products and stuff again. And maybe talk a little bit about World Food Championships. I know you had some fun time at the final table, which I don't know if you can put fire on that or not, but, you know, you can probably talk us through the barbecue competition anyway.
Oh, I'm free to talk about anything I want to talk about. We're not tied down by any contract. At the barbecue contest, it went pretty smooth. No major glitches for us. We went in with some good meat. We were happy with what we had going in. We cooked the pork and turned in sauce the first day. Liked what we did. Was excited about the sauce because right before the Jack, we did a local, and we used our sauce at a state championship here, and we won that. So I was like, all right. So that was two in a row for us, and then I was like, hey, sauce has got to work out here. And then the pork, we've been doing good in pork this year. I think we're top five in the team of the year. So I was excited about the first two categories. Pork hit my mark. That's all I can do. I can't control it after that. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But if it doesn't hit the marks that I want, then I cannot be happy. But I hit my marks. I was happy with the way it went in the box. We turned it in. Everything was good. Then we started right in prepping our briskets and the ribs, because the turn-in times were like at 4 and 4:30 in the afternoon both days. So our prep time was way back compared to what we normally do. We did that. Basically, we were done till close to midnight. So we kind of went around, took in Vegas just a little bit. Me and my two brothers, we walked around a mile or so, went up to the room, got a good bite to eat, got some rest, got back up at midnight, went back down to the trailer and started up the smokers. Did our thing with that. Did the briskets that night, put ribs on that next day. And that's what's just crazy, was putting ribs on like at 11 in the afternoon. It's like, golly, it just seems like you're way behind, but it's right on schedule. Turned in for the brisket and ribs, and we thought they were dynamite. I was sitting there, didn't want to jinx myself, but I literally thought, man, we got a chance out here. I liked all three meats. They all hit real good. I like how they come out. And the good team just right over from us, I felt so bad for them. Actually, Jim, I think they're down from your area. They got times mixed up, and they turned in their brisket instead of their ribs, and I felt so bad for them. That's a long drive all the way out to Vegas, and it'd be a human error, not a cooking error, not a judging error, and you know they had to be kicking gravel for half the trip home. Gosh, I felt bad for them. But they were good-natured about it and themselves, and they just said, well, it is what it is, and, you know, that's the way to take it. And instead of getting mad and slinging stuff, they did exactly what could be done, and all they did was wait and turn the box back in for brisket. But still, you feel bad about that.
Yeah, they were I competed against them a few times. Actually, he was one of the ones that kind of helped me with my pork, and I kind of helped him with the brisket, of course, pushing
the
product.
He told me that, but I didn't want to say that on the air. I almost said that, and then I pulled it back, and I went, oh, no, I better not say that.
Jeff Neff, good guys, and I haven't even had a chance to talk to him since he got back. I was kind of letting them, kind of get it out of their mind a little bit, where they weren't be upset. But, I mean, that's where they are. They just kind of go with the flow, and if they screwed up, they screwed up. We'll do it again next time. But, when you come from South Carolina to a competition like that, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So, I understood with what happened with them. It's just, it could have been just a little overwhelming for them or whatever. And, I mean, he's a really good cook, and he was really pleased. He was cooking a brisket every week at a South Carolina event that, after I kind of helped him off with recipes and injections and stuff like that, the timings of them and stuff. And he said, every time I cooked a brisket, it was just getting better and better and better. And he'd go back and listen to the shows we did earlier in the summer, about these little golden nuggets you put out there for him to do. And he was going back and archiving those shows and picking up little pieces here and there. And before we went out there, we cooked an event over here in Jackson, South Carolina, and he cooked his first Wagyu brisket, and he was just really ecstatic about it, and, he was ready. He was like, I haven't been practice cooked since he, kind of went to school, and, he's really pleased with everything, and he was just excited that, he could bring it up, that he said, I didn't know I could cook a brisket that good to me, and, it's kind of like what we're doing. You kind of help another competitor out. That's great. I mean, don't try to give what too many secrets, but he did help me in pork a good bit. So I felt obligated and obliged to help him with brisket. Cause like I said, they all cook brisket, and that last weekend's score, I don't think I know how to cook a brisket either. But it is what it is. You have one of those every now and then.
Yeah, it's kind of like you help them out until they win the first place, and then you're like, okay, school's over.
three weeks ago, I even mixed an injection in my trailer. And they said, baby, all right, that's it. You're done. So this past weekend, I actually mixed their I had some injection left over, enough for another brisket, enough for two or three more pork butts. I gave it to them, and they beat me in pork, they beat me in brisket. I said, all right, now, honestly, that is it. I'm not doing it anymore. That's what the products do. I mean, they were bombing in pork and brisket. They were getting hammered. And just a few little tips that I told them, and your product, and they were on the right way. And, I mean, they really come up with GBCs, as Randall's probably noticed. And, they're pretty much on it. They're excited about cooking these categories again. They were like, well, we got this and this. I don't know about that. But now they're excited about it. When you start placing, you really get excited about it and everything. But go ahead and finish about your World Food Championship. So you got all your meat turned in, and you're ready to go to awards and everything, I guess.
Yeah, they had the awards. They had a stage built there in the back where we were all at, and we went up to the awards, and they started out with sauce and got all the way down to they call top five only in the categories, which is we're pretty well accustomed to the top 10. But we got to listen or got to watch some of the chef challenge right at the end. Then we got to listen to the awards for chili. And then they announced the top five chili cooks and told them that they got about 20 minutes and they had to get up front to the main stage up on Las Vegas Boulevard, and they're going to announce the winners up there. And then they started in with ours, and they had the sauce, and we got down to second place. They called us for second, and then Martin Greco with Four Men and a Pig, he won the sauce. Then they went to ribs, and we did not get a call. And I liked them. Now, boy, they were good ribs. I thought, man, maybe we were that sixth place that we just don't know about. But you don't know. I don't think it was, I don't even remember what it was. It was in the high 160s. And then they called or went through pork and then ribs, and we didn't get a call on those two, and I got the brisket. And we ended up third place in brisket, and we were only one of two teams that had two calls out of the top five. We had higher calls than they had, but there's so many unknowns not knowing who the top 10 are.
Right.
And then they said, well, in no particular order, we're going to call the top 10, and y'all need to run immediately up to the front stage, and we're going to call the overall. And so they called top 10, and there was two, three teams there that didn't have any calls. Well, there again, they could have had four, six places, and nobody would know. And we all ran up front, and this is the only thing that if the World Food Championships listens to anything, this is the only thing that I think I wish they'd have done different. You've got 82 teams, 75 teams, however many was there cooking, putting in 2 days of cooking, and then you take their top 10 teams that in the categories, I'm sorry, in the overall, send them up front. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you coming. They don't have a clue who won it. Not until it gets posted on the internet. I wish their microphone up front would have been wired to the speakers in the back. Then they could have at least heard the awards, even though they weren't up front. So that's the only thing. And that didn't even cross my mind. That was brought to my attention by cooks that didn't want to run all the way up front, that stayed in the back and started packing up. So anyway, that all being said, we ran up front, did our thing, listened to them announce the chili, got to go through that. And then they started in on the top 10. And they were naming them all off, and I kept going, man, it should be. They didn't call us for 10th place. And I'm like, whew, okay, we didn't get first call there. And then I was like, man, we might make top five, Well, they got to 5th place, and I'm like, whew, we're in the top five. Man, that's awesome. And they kept going and kept going, and they named Reserve Grand, and it wasn't us, and it never even dawned on me. I look at my younger brother who went with me, and Joe's looking at me, and he's like, Dave, Dave. And I'm looking at him going, dude, was that second or third place? He looks at me. He all but gives me a hard elbow, and he says, he calls me something. And he says, we just won. I'm like, no, man, was that second or third place? I never dawned on me that was Reserve Grand till they called Grand. That is no joke. I didn't even put it all together. And then he said, then they said for grand champion, and I'm like, dude, we're the only one left. It never sank in that we just won it. We get up on stage, and they're taking pictures, and they're talking to me. Troy Black's talking, and he keeps telling me, he said, do you understand how big this is? Yes, sir. Sure do. Yes, sir. And I'm just kind of a take one thing at a time. I don't get excited. I don't go from ear to ear with a smile. I'm just kind of, yeah, sure. Great cook. Had a good time. And he says, well,
it's funny what you're saying. This is bigger than a 2,000-pound bull in the china shop.
Yeah, exactly. And he says, well, what about tomorrow? What would you like to tell everybody about tomorrow? And I'm, the only thing that comes to my mind is, you know, I brought three crappy ribs. And so over the microphone, I tell everybody, I need some ribs, guys. I just make that announcement right there. I need ribs. Anyway, they shuffle us off the side of the stage, and literally pandemonium is just, I don't know, better word other than whirlwind, pandemonium. I mean, media was this and that, stood us in front of these posters taking pictures, and Mike Lake, which was running the contest for KCBS, came to me and he says, now listen to me, listen to me. He said, Mike McLeod, which is the MMA guy that put on the contest, said, needs you at the pool for media at 7:30. And I said, okay, not a problem. And he said, now listen, you have to be there at 7:30. Okay, not a problem. And I look at him, I said, when are turn-ins tomorrow? Because now that starts playing in my head. I got to get briskets prepped. What time do I have to put them on? Because if it's standard KCBS turn-in times, we're going to be in a hurt because at midnight we had to move parking lots. So now I'm start playing the game of when's turn-in. And he says, I'll find that out and I'll get back with you. And he says, remember, 7:30. I said, not a problem. Then they grab us and we had to fill out the W-9s and do all that, get our checks, and then the media again. And finally I get turned around twice while I get behind the stage and I call my wife and tell her we won it. It'd probably been 10 minutes and I hadn't even had a chance to call home yet. We're walking back to the back and passing other teams, and everybody's asking how it went, and we just hold up the Crystal Trophy, and everybody's congratulatory, and we're going back, and my brothers and I, I'm laying out what we got to do. I said, first thing I got to do is get brisket. I got to get this. And so we're going through basically a punch list going to our trailer. We get back there, and barbecuers being barbecuers, as big-hearted as we all are, we want barbecue to win the whole thing. I had people throwing ribs at me like there was no tomorrow. I've got a whole case. I'm bringing it over. I got 8 slabs. I'm bringing it over. I got 10 slabs. I'm bringing them over. You go through them. It was amazing. One guy come over and says, you got enough brisket? And I said, I've got one brisket. That's all the extra I brought. He says, he knew what I cooked and everything. He says, I got one. I'm bringing it to you. And so we got a second brisket. I went through tons of great ribs, picked out 3 that I kept, and called out the ones that even I brought. I didn't think they were as good as what I brought wasn't as good as what I went through. Make a long story short, we're sitting there about 10 o'clock that night. Everything's prepped. Everything's done. Sitting around, and we're now looking at 3 o'clock turn-in. We knew that. So now I'm rewriting my cooking schedule. And about 10:45, World Food Championship calls me. Says, we need to have a cook's meeting. And I said, okay, what time? They said, now. Oh, okay, we're at. Back in the front of Bally's. So I said, well, you're going to have to give me about 3 minutes. I got to run all the way up there. So just back up by the main stage. So I got back up front, and they kind of went through what had happened, what to expect, and they had told us is we've had a good contest. We've been able to control and understand how all the judging is going to be done to this point. From this point on, we have no control over it. And we all were like, what are you talking about? And they says, you got celebrity judges. It's going to be live. We don't know what they're going to do. We have just spelled out that y'all are the top 7, which food's the best. That was the criteria of judging, was that right there. And we're like, well, how do we present it? They says, we'll come up with that and give it to you tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. So I said, and Caesars was not going to allow anything on their parking lot till midnight. According to the cook schedule, I had to start at 1 o'clock for a 3 o'clock turn-in cooking. But time changes. This was the weekend of time change. So in theory, 1 o'clock is midnight. So So we got over there at midnight. We were the first one in. Then they come in with all the tents and the bleachers and building stage after we got there at midnight. And the thing that that means with us being the last, our first one in, that means we're going to be the last ones out the next day. Everything's
right.
built around my trailer. But we get over there, and so in theory, it's really 11 o'clock. So I had a little more time than what was actually in front of me. So we got in, we kind of got set up, didn't have to do a lot of running and jumping and everything because we had the extra hour because of time change. We did our process, we cooked. We thought everything was going real good. We got our ribs on. They were in about 30 minutes, and they come through, and they says, got a time change. Turn-in's now pushed back to 3:30. Okay. So I staged my ribs. That's not a big thing. It's nothing major. You know, you can always chill them down on the front of the cook cycle easier than you can the backside. So I slow the ribs down, pull them out for a little bit, put them back in, which is not a major thing because a year and a half ago we did that extreme home makeover thing for Kansas City where we went up and cooked for the TV show, the ABC show.
Right.
Our times got changed three times for chicken. You know, you really can't hold chicken. And it got delayed over an hour for that show. So, hey, 30 minutes on ribs, hey, we're good. I'm all for that. We could do some filming with the film crew, did some little one-liner things for them, put a couple tables out front, was going to do our mock presentations out there. We had that all set up how we wanted to do it. And several barbecue guys were there. Fiery Foods Magazines was there, Kraft Foods. There were several folks hanging around doing stuff. And then the chefs up and down, just like what they were talking about, man, they were going berserk. They were running back and forth to the refrigerators, back to the sinks, back to their sites, chop, 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 doing all this stuff. And literally, we're just kind of coasted because we did all that at 7 o'clock the night before. So I understood what they were going through, but, hey, I'm going to pay my dues. I'm sitting down. And they bring us, I have to admit, the biggest box you ever seen to turn in. It's a hotel pan is what they bring us, and this is your turn-in. Okay? So we lettuce it up and parsley it up because I wanted to make it what we're used to, like a KCBS box. So I fixed it all up for that. We put 12 ribs in the box. I'm thinking it's 10, maybe 12 burn-ins, and we had 10 or 12 slices of brisket all in one box. And they're not touching. They're like an inch and a half apart. That's how big this thing is. Got a lid for it, and we head to turn in. We're first ones there. We turn in, and here comes everybody else. And they drew names as to who was going to present first. So we went up. My brother and I went up. They told me to go to the front of the stage, give them a thumbs up, step off to the front, talk to Adam Richmond down in front of the stage. And at that point, my brother went through and served out the food. So he did that, and he stepped off. I'm sitting talking to Adam Richmond. We're talking about the sliced brisket. Him and I had already spoke the day before, and he was saying, well, you do injections and rubs and do all kinds of stuff. And I said, yeah, we sure do. And explain a little bit about your process. I kind of went through that just a little bit. And then he went to the next one. We were told we had 1 minute to talk, and that was it. So we had to go through it real quick. He went to the next one. How the judging process goes is they were going to go through after tasting everything, and they were going to just start at judge one and say, which dish does not deserve to be here? And they were going to just name it and then go down to the next one, the next one, the next one, and so on. And then the one with the most votes is off, voted off. Then they're going to go back to judge one and start all over again. Well, we're standing on the side of the stage, and they're all finished, and they're fixing to start to judging. And one of the judges up there, and I don't know the guy's name, he popped on and says, I got a question for the barbecue. And I'm like, oh, crud, okay. So I walked out front. They called me out front of the stage. Troy Black has a mic, and he's handing it to me. And I said, yes, sir. And he says, I've got a question about these burnt ends. He said, tell me a little bit about these burnt ends. They're nothing like what I've had before. Kind of explained a little bit about the cooking process on them and rendering the fat out. And he says, well, I've been to several restaurants, and they're nothing like this. He said, I'm used to a real hard, crunchy burnt end and not this soft stuff. And I explained to him, I said, well, competition barbecue is a little different than restaurant burnt ends. And he said, are you trying to tell me that restaurant food is fake? And I'm like, no, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we can take different time, more time and different avenues to take care of our food versus in the restaurant. And then the guy right beside him pops in, and he says, yeah. He said, hence the word burnt ends. And I went, oh, boy, okay. I knew I was losing and all that stuff, so I'm off to the side stage, and I'm talking to the chefs there, and I'm like, well, we know who's going to get voted off here now, don't we? I said, I know I just lost, but I didn't think nothing of it. And then that Nadia girl from that TV show, that Bitchin' Kitchen show, she calls up, and she says, I got a question for the barbecue guy, too. I went, holy crap, you got to be kidding me. So I walked back out front again, and I said, yes. And they says, okay, your sauce that's on these ribs. So it is absolutely to die for. She said, we're getting a hint of some kind of fruit. And she was sitting right beside Myron. And she says, we've been talking, trying to figure out what that flavor is. What is it? And I told her what was in it and everything. And she elbows him and says, dang, we were both wrong. And so I go back off to the side stage and I went, damn, that was better than I was expecting. Okay. And I'm expected to be the first one voted off after what I just went through. And then they go through, and chili goes, and then side dish. I think it was side dish. No, it might have been recipe, then side dish. And I'm like, oh, crap, okay. Maybe it's better than I thought. Because after the one I just got grilled on, I kind of figured I was fixing to go out as number one there. And then they voted us out at four and then went on and had the top three. And I was like, wow, well, I was happy with that. I mean, we won the barbecue, and as I explained to some of those folks there, is, you know, barbecue is not known as a world cuisine, especially up against all this other fancy food, as I call it, foie gras, whatever I can't pronounce, foo-foo food and all that. But we got to present it for competitor cooks, for backyarders, for restaurateurs. We got to put barbecue on a national stage against seven other great cuisines. Man, I'm honored to have been able to be the one to get to do that for everybody. Did we win? No. Did we win? Yes, in my opinion, because it was light. It wasn't spit out. So, hey, we got to put it back where it needs to be. And that's the best way I can describe that, is something like that. So I had a good time. We had a good cook. Everything went good. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I don't think we could, as far as the barbecue community concerns, and this is my opinion, I really don't think we could have had a better spokesmodel and a better team, to represent barbecue on the world stage like that. I mean, because any question that they could ask you, I mean, you could tell that guy the molecular structure of beef, you know, and he wouldn't know crap. But, you know, for you to be up there and be on that stage, I don't think there could have been another team that would have, represented barbecue any better. And my hat goes off to you on what you did out there, the way you handled yourself and everything. I mean, you didn't take it, you know, with arrogance or anything. And I don't think you got an arrogant cell in your body, but, you know, just from talking to you, Nathan, I think you represented barbecue very, very well.
Well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
And if Matt was listening, I know Randall knows, you know, us as barbecuers, we'd love to hear the top 10 called out. That's, you know, several times you get top five. You really need to call top 10 out if he's a winner. Just to show, appreciation of some teams that's, sitting from 5th to 10th or 6th to 10th, whatever. It kind of puts things in people's minds, perspectives on where they're going to finish up and And as we all know, and I know David does it, when you start hearing names called, you try to figure out, well, what place was he? Where was I? You know, where was he? How many calls did he have? You know, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of makes you feel good when you make the top 10, because normally when people say, I got a call, it's usually a top 10 call.
Yep, that's right. Whether they were going to pay it or not, here in the top 10 is still a huge accomplishment, especially in the crowd that were there or just anywhere anymore. Competition cooking's gotten so large. I was on a show last week talking about this, and they were like, well, where did you study at? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, well, where did you go to school at for culinary? And I'm like, okay, the main difference between barbecuers and the chefs that we went against, it's there's culinary institutes that these guys spent 4 and 5 years at, like college, to learn their craft. We have learned our craft with our smokers, our rubs, our sauces, our smoke, our combination. And it takes 3 and 4 years, 5 years to learn that craft too. We may not have a certificate hanging on the wall saying we graduated from CSI, whatever, but it's still a culinary craft, and I'm glad to see it being seen by the rest of the world that way too, because it is. We all call ourselves pit masters. We're not chefs. I don't classify myself a chef. I say I'm a cook, and that's the way I look at it. I'm not a chef. I can't take onions and prepare them 13 different ways. I can't tell you how to make a grassroots something or another, but I can cook barbecue, and that's all I claim I can do. So just to be able to say that and to be in the class with those guys, I look up to them. Maybe someday I'll be able to do some funny grass or something and put it on the side of my plate with a drizzle of something else. I don't know. But right now, I just want to cook barbecue.
I think barbecue is more of an art than anything. Because, as Randall knows, he's a pit maker. There's an art going to making these pits and to make them perform correctly and how you want them and how your meat turns out. And you know, you got to prep your meat. You inject it. You rub it. You do whatever. You got your timeline down. It's I think you're going more towards an art than a craft. I mean, I think you have to be crafty sometimes, but I think it's a true art of cooking because it's almost like it's nurture. You know, you're not cooking it hot fast in 30 minutes to 45 minutes, which a lot of these chefs do. You have flames going everywhere. Barbecue takes time. Good barbecue, you can't rush good barbecue, is my opinion.
I'm with you on that. I'm a low and slow cooker myself. And I think that part of our crafting our barbecue is getting the pit that works for you in your area. Not all pits work in Arizona that work in the deep south where there's a lot more moisture. Not all pits work in the deep south that work up in Michigan where they've got a lot more colder environments. I mean, so it's learning that your pit in your area as well as your rubs, sauces, and the choice of your meat.
I agree. And I know Randall would agree, too. He's still awake.
100%.
I mean, everything's possible. I know Matt's fixing to get a head full of all what we go through down there in Charleston and stuff. And I think Matt's really looking forward to a lot of good teams coming down there and competing and doing these contests, even your promoter or cook or whatever, you're always learning something new and maybe a different way to do things, to make things better or easier, and just take mental notes on everything.
Sure, you just nailed it right there, Jim. We're definitely excited to learn. It's been a good learning process, and it's very exciting, to share the line with these gentlemen and hear about everything that they have to say. And in Las Vegas, come on, doesn't get any better than that. Everything Randall's doing, I'll be doing some research and taking some notes, and hopefully look forward to meeting you guys in person in one of these days, sooner than later.
I appreciate everybody being on the show. Like I said, Randall, any shout outs you want to give on your National Barbecue Cup coming up?
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys show up here on Thursday and Friday. We're excited about 2012, and we'll be able to congratulate winners and shake hands and have a good weekend. I want to wish good luck to everybody out there cooking in Charleston and Plant City, Florida, and anywhere else around the country this weekend. I'm not naming . And just want to thank the barbecue world for embracing us as a competition and as a team and our business as Deep South Smokers. I appreciate you guys, and we look forward to seeing you guys in the future.
Okay, Randall. Well, I'm sure I'll be seeing you before too long, and good luck with your event. And like I say, wish we could make it up there, but that's why I had to really give you a yay or nay on the event. I know you've asked me a couple times, but I was going to get my money in and do all this other stuff. And I said, well, I got to see what's going on, with the team of the year and SBN. And like I said, any time you go in team of the year in any sanctioning body, it's a big plus, a big feather in your hat. And I'm fortunate enough to have a chance to do that. And, for my sponsors like David and Richard Barbecue, just took me out on a Royal Oak and, Fireside Downtown, Southern Q Smokers, and Phoenix Printing, people that do my prints on my shirt. I mean, he loved more than ever to put, SBN Team of the Year on the back of my shirt, and, he could be a part of it. And, when you get really good sponsors, it makes you feel good. They kind of pull for you and everything. Like I said, that Royal Oak with Mike Shore, I'm going to tell you what, you can't get any better than that. I mean, it's a privately owned company, but I'm going to tell you what, they've really stepped up their efforts the last couple of years and really helped the teams out. And, and it's just come tenfold for them. I mean, you got a lot of good teams that are using their product and pushing it, and I know it's helping them out. And, if they can help us out, we'll scratch their back too. So, Randall, good luck with your contest, buddy, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And,
definitely.
And keep all the stuff not too far on Thursday night. And Matt, do you have any shout-outs you want to give out? Any sponsors or, I know y'all will be on Thursday afternoon. So.
Yeah, we're, super thankful for all the sponsors that came on board, specifically, Piggly Wiggly coming on as the title sponsor. Jim, really appreciate you having me on the show tonight. It's a new experience, and look forward to being on some more. And look forward to seeing you down here in Charleston. A lot of the media that is supporting us here, and everybody else in the barbecue community that has helped us put this together. And so, really looking forward to making it happen. And for all those that have shown interest, www.smokeontheharbor.com, Charleston Harbor Resort and Marina, Charleston, South Carolina. Come on. We're looking forward to it.
Well, I appreciate you having it, Dan and Matt. We're really looking forward to this weekend down there, and hopefully we can pull one out of the hat. So, like I said, we've got a lot of old friends going to be down there and everything. We're really good friends with QLG. I just pack on a little bit. They're really good friends of ours. And we're looking really forward to coming down to Charleston and competing and just enjoying Charleston for the weekend. So,
very nice. Definitely. It's going to be a good time.
I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having the contest down there, buddy. We'll see. I think we'll be on Thursday sometime. So I will be anyway. So,
well, that sounds like a winner.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen.
David, another big congrats to you on your World Food Championships out there. Great job. And Team Butcher Barbecue, I guess you call it.
Yep.
Hopefully that I can bring you, I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I can bring you a Team of the Year in SPN this year.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
So we got three of us going for it at this contest. And pretty much whoever wins this contest is going to win Team of the Year because it's kind of close. But we are leading. So really, truthfully, if I can just beat the other two teams, but we're gonna be concentrating and focused, and I I always want to be my sponsors proud because, you know, like I said, y'all put the effort forth out and everything, and we really appreciate it here at Dillard's Barbecue. And a couple teams that I've helped in the past, they're really helping too because I've been using your product too. So,
yeah.
That's how the barbecue world works. Any shout-outs you want to give before we get off the air? Or?
Well, the only thing I've got going right now that I've got immediately on my plate is in very late December we are having a class, and it's not quite sold out, but it's almost sold out in Southern California at Laguna Hills in California. If you're interested, you can go to my website, butcherbarbecue.com, and get the information, registration's there. It is over New Year's, but we kind of designed it that way. Some people are actually, their spouses are giving them to a class registration for Christmas. And that next day, we're going to travel 30 miles down the road, and we're going to have a contest, December 31st, January 1st. So while we're out there, we're going to do two things. We won't kill two birds with one stone. So there will be a contest out there, and then we're going to fly home. But that's really the only thing I've got going. We're pretty well done for the year. Time to sit back and get my honeydews done that I got lined up, and we'll get started next year.
I think we're all in that same boat. I think we really go to work after the barbecue season ends. So we get to a little denial stage, and you know, after a few weeks or whatever, we start getting the itch to get back out there. But I'd like to say congrats to you, and I appreciate you being one of my sponsors. You just don't know how much. And, you know, we're looking forward to this weekend, and hopefully we can bring home the bacon. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate all my sponsors, Royal Oak and everything. So, anyway, well, congrats, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you within the next few weeks, and I'm sure everybody's going to be kind of keeping up with Butcher Barbecue and where you're doing and what you're doing and how you're doing it. So, like I said, I appreciate you being on my show tonight. And
my pleasure.
My pleasure. Take care, and thanks, Travis. Good luck in your future contest.
All right, bud. Jim, y'all have a good one, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, man. We're looking forward to it. I'll text you to let you know how we get it.
You do that. I'll be looking forward to the text. Take care, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. That's up our show for tonight. We had Randall Bowen from National Barbecue Cup this weekend. He's got a little bit of room left. You really need to get into this contest. I'm going to tell you what, it's this class act, first-rate contest. People coming from all over the country to be there. It's going to be the who's who of barbecue. Also, Matt Gowan for the promoter for Smoke on the Harbor, a big ESPN event, 30-something teams in the first year. Pretty impressive, especially right before Thanksgiving. Most people think about turkeys and not about barbecue, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm really looking forward to going down there this week and competing and seeing some old friends and making some new ones and hopefully doing very well in this contest. So we're looking forward to that. And I want to thank David for Butcher Barbecue for his insights on the World Food Championship, his experience. And I know over the next few weeks we'll have two other competitors on here talking about their experiences behind the lines and everything and talking about that. So, this is Jim Berg from Killer Bees Barbecue. We're going to say goodnight. And like again, I want to thank Butcher Barbecue for their sponsorship. Definitely Royal Oak are a really big sponsor. Couldn't do it without you. Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills in Augusta, Georgia, for supplying us with a lot of the products we use. Also, Phoenix Printing and my pit maker, Southern Q Barbecue, Scott Smith and Tim Thomas. Give me the smokers, the quality smokers to compete and compete on a high level, and I appreciate their help. So that's all I have to say. Good night, and keep queuing.